Let us turn to Holy Scripture today. Appropriate to the season is the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4, and then 8 through 11. If you'd like to follow along, you can find it in your pew Bible in the Hebrew Bible on page 650. Hear these words. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture this morning comes from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 193 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. Hear now the words of the Apostle Paul. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and the soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our final reading comes from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and then 19 through 28. And if you'd like to follow along, please open your Bible in the New Testament to page 86. Hear these words. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And John said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize you with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, you know, a wise person has remarked for a long, long time that you probably don't try to go up against cute kids. And I'm not going to try. I'm not going to give you the full sermon that I would have. I would welcome you, if you want to read it fully, that we can get you a copy. But I think today we had illustrated in magnificent ways anything that I could possibly say. But I would like to call your attention to a few things about the identity and the message of a prophet. It's not just by chance that we would read these scripture readings today. Two of the readings actually deal with the message from a prophet, and a third one is actually in itself a prophetic message. And the reason those first two prophets are connected, those being Isaiah and John the Baptist, as you probably know, as you recognize from the tradition in the church, John the Baptist, as was Jesus, but John the Baptist specifically, was all the time quoting Isaiah. It was Isaiah's words that John took as his reason for being, and those explained who he was. Now, when you look at those kinds of things, we get an understanding of who John the Baptist was. He was the guy in the edge of the wilderness. He was the guy with the shaggy hair, probably the wild look in his face. He wore camel's hair clothing. He had a leather belt. Scripture says that he ate locusts and wild honey. And yet, even the people who were there on the Jordan River being baptized by John were unclear about who he was and what he was telling them. So that begs the question, how can we, in the 21st century, have a clue about when we would see or hear a prophet in our world? Well, I think when you boil it down, and certainly these kids did a terrific job today, the Bell Choir, our choir, have shown us how truly simple is the story of Advent and Christmas. It really does boil down to some simple concepts. And I believe that a prophetic message, a message coming from a prophet, is profound, but it's also simple. So how do you know if you're hearing a prophet? Well, I believe that the prophet's message comes from God. Now think about that. A prophet is not trying to sell you something. A prophet is not asking for your money. A prophet is not trying to buy a Senate seat. A prophet is not even concerned with what you think about him or her. In fact, a prophet doesn't care whether you listen or not. But a message from a prophet comes from God. Well, what then is the message that we get? I think you heard it loud and clear this morning. There are many different ways that you might hear this, but I believe that it boils down to three simple statements. Jesus is coming to offer you new life. The second part, God's kingdom is already here. And finally, the prophet's message tells us that Jesus will come yet again to complete God's kingdom. Now, if you read theologians or if you read anything, we could go on for hours talking about what a prophetic message is really about. Jesus and John the Baptist both said the same thing that was a little bit different. They said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And both of those guys were referring to Jesus' arrival on this earth. And maybe the point of all this is that we need to spend some time to recognize what it is that the prophets were telling us. And we need to open ourselves to the probability that Jesus is still speaking through prophetic messages even today. A prophet's message comes from God. Jesus is coming to offer you new life. God's kingdom is already here. And Jesus will come yet again to complete God's kingdom. That's the basis of our entire theology. That's what we believe. And if you take seriously this message, you can easily spend your entire lifetime thinking and pondering and reading and praying about this message. Jesus is coming to offer you new life. God's kingdom is already here,
Jesus will come again to complete God's kingdom. O come, Emmanuel. Let us prepare the way of our Lord. Amen.